Tonight is June 3rd, Monday night. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Moed Kat on Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are up to the Gemara. The Mishnah had made a statement at the beginning of the Mishnah that Ve'elu Kosvin B'Moed, these are the following documents that you are permitted to write on Kolosho Moed. The first thing was Kiddushei Nashim. You're allowed to write a document of Kiddushin, which is Erusin, halachic engagement. So the Gemara asks the question, Amar Shmuel will explain, in effect, why are you allowed to engage in Kiddushei Nashim on Chalosho Moed? So Shmuel, Mutar le'areis isha b'chalosho moed shema yikadmenu acher. The reason why you're allowed to engage a woman is because we're afraid that somebody is going to snatch her up. Therefore, if you have an opportunity to betroth this woman, that is why we allow you to get engaged on chalosho moed. And once you're getting engaged, you might have to avail yourself, if you don't have any money, so the easiest way to engage is simply by writing a shtar. That is why we allow you to write the document on Chalosho Moed. So there are two aspects to tonight's shir. One is to explore what's the real chidush of Shmuel. Apparently, without his logic, we would have prohibited Erusin on Chalosho Moed. What might be the reason? And then focus on this halacha of Shema Yikadmenu Acher in light of the well-known halacha Ani HaMahapech B'Charora. So we'll see whether this applies to Kedushin or not. Very interesting tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So, if you take a look at the sheet, which is the Ritva, he writes on page 1, Omar Shmuel, Mutar la'areis isha b'chalosho moed. You're allowed to. Piresh, ve'af al gav deheve ke'ein mekachu memkar, shelo l'tzorech ha-moed, even though this engagement should be prohibited as a result of the fact that it is a form of legal acquisition, mekach u'memkar, and all forms of legal acquisition are prohibited on Yom Tov and Chalosho Moed. And furthermore, it's shelo l'tzorech ha-moed. What purpose might there be in engaging somebody she'eino yochol linas'a b'moed? You can't get married on Chalosho Moed. So if you can't get married, what's the purpose of engagement?
Still Simcha.
No, that's going to be the whole point. There's no
Simcha to Nisan.
If there is going to be Simcha, that's going to be a problem. Because Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. That's part of the issue that will be discussed tonight.
Where do we see the total Memcha of Asar Chol Moed? You want to buy food.
Because that's all Tzorech HaMoed. If not for it, anything that's not Tzorech HaMoed, you're not permitted to do. You can't go casual shopping, car shopping on Chalosho Moed. you know, things only that are tzorach hamoed. And that's his whole point, the Ritva's, that it's not tzorach hamoed because you cannot finalize the deal with Nisuin.
But don't we say that, aren't we taught that on Shabbos, what does God do? He's mezavig zivugim. So Chol HaShamoed, which doesn't have the same kedusha Shabbos, that it's also the kind of thing bringing the zivug together.
You can't get engaged on Shabbos.
No, I'm not saying that. But if God is planning, you can't get engaged. I'm saying if God plans and is matching it, so on Yom Tov, you know, it doesn't have the same kedusha.
Okay.
Never mind.
Okay. So that's the first thing he says.
Without Shmuel, what would I have thought the Mishnah told me then?
Okay. So now that's exactly what the Ritva is arguing. It's funny. Why does Shmuel say that you are allowed to write Kiddushei Nashim? Because I could have thought that it's Asur. Hence, the Mishnah has to say that it's Mutter, and I, Shmuel, am going to explain why it's Mutter, despite the fact that it's something that it's not with Tzorach HaMoed. So why should it be Mutter? What? Yeah, it's a Davar Ava. That's exactly what, that's the language that he's going to use in a second. Afilu Ha, yeah?
It seems to be the opposite of Shabbos, that Shabbos, Mechachom Emkar is Asher because it'll come to Ksiva.
Correct.
Here it seems that Ksiva is Asher if it'll come to Mechachom Emkar on Chol HaMoed.
No.
The Mishnah says, in quotes, and why? Because it may come to a situation of Mechachom Emkar. You can write, I assume you can write other things, but it's Davka this, which, you know, these items in the Mishnah, which are Mechachom Emkar.
Okay, that's a good point. But Ksiva is also Asher on Chol HaMoed. Unless it's Tzorach HaMoed.
Unless it's Tzorach HaMoed.
So therefore,
is it? I mean, Ksiva's Malachos, unless they're
Tzorach HaMoed. Unless the Tzorach HaMoed, they're Asa. And Ksiva is black and white in Shulchan Aruch, that it's Asa. Black and white. I don't know if I told you last week, I went to, many years ago, a Levaya of one of my aunts, a great aunt, and the Rav of the Shul got up and he takes out a piece of paper for the hesped. He says, "No, the usual thing, you're not allowed to be masped." And he says, "And I don't want you to think that I wrote this on Chol HaShamoed. My wife did." I dictated to her what to write. People were a little surprised.
Okay.
Yeah. So nonetheless, now continues the Ritva, afilu hachi lo gazru bo. Nonetheless, despite the fact that it's not with Tzorach HaMoed, nisuin cannot be done, nonetheless we allow it. Shema yikadmenu acher birachamim. Somebody else will jump in. And here he adds a word that doesn't appear in Shmuel's statement. Shmuel says, Shema yikadmenu acher. He adds the word Shemi Kamina Barachamim, namely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to what? Have more compassion on the next guy than you. And there's some discussion in Rishon about this as well. V'yiyezeh k'davar ha'aveh. And as a result, it's a davar ha'aveh. And that's why on Chol HaShamoed it's permissible, because it's an irrevocable loss. Then he deals with the issue, v'i mishum she'ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Why do I have to come up with this business that it might be asa because it's a form of acquisition? It happens to be a simcha. And if it's a simcha, it is precluded on Chol HaShamoed based on ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Says the Ritva, why? B'simcha leka mishum erusun bilchud kol zman she'eino oses udatni erusin. As long as you don't make any meal highlighting the erusin, there is no simcha attached simply by getting engaged. Avol nesuin afilu bilo se'uda heve simcha. A marriage itself has an element of simcha, even independent of what? Of the obligation to have a meal. The Hatorah Amra, as we learned previously, V'samachta b'chagecha v'drash v'lo b'ishtecha. You are to rejoice in the festival and not rejoice concerning your wife. So it goes to both extremes. Erusin has no simcha. Apparently, if you make a suda, there would be. And the suin, even if you don't make a suda, there is an element of simcha in relationship to nesuin. It's a little difficult to understand why, by definition, a suudat erusin, according to the Ritva, would have an element of simcha. Normally, the simcha is not defined by the meal. What defines the simcha is
the event.
If there is a mitzvah of simcha, then that particular suda has an element of simcha associated with it. And for Avelim, for example, they would have to avoid that type of a meal. That's a perfect illustration. Sudas bris is a chiyuv, but there's no simcha per se in a sudas bris.
Does he not be able to attend the bris?
Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch says that he can attend the bris, but he should not attend the suda. But that may not be only because of the element of simcha. It's the way the Rav always because there's halacha of simcha mereus, means simply getting together, having a good time. That's the isur, that's called simcha mereus, not because of the suda itself. Right, getting together to play cards is asur. Fine.
Can you make a siyum on Chol Moed?
The question is there an element of... depends what reason you use why you're not allowed to get married. If it's a ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, you can apply it to other things. If it's based on v'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'lishtecha, it only applies to that. In fact, some say that the whole halacha of a ma'arvin simcha b'simcha is only for nesuit. Doesn't apply anyplace else. In fact, I saw in another, so I forgot which one it was, they asked about a suda for a pidyon haben. Okay, so you have to make the pidyon haben on day number 30. Where does it say you have to make a suda for a pidyon haben? There's no chiyuv suda for a pidyon haben at all. So why do you have to... So the question is, could you make a sudas pidyon haben on Chol Shomo? But that's what the Ritva says.
But what defines a chiyuv suda then?
That there is a chiyuv suda?
For example, what's the...
The halacha says there's a chiyuv suda. When the halacha says that you have to have a meal. So for a bris, there's a chiyuv suda. For nisuin, there's a chiyuv suda. Yeah.
For Shabbos and Yontif?
Shabbos and Yontif, there is a chiyuv suda. Yes?
So there's no inyan of simplified erusin?
According to the Ritva, none.
And if there was...
only if there's a suda. If you were to make a suda seirusin, right, that would contain. Some are going to disbelieve. We're going to see a whole bunch of these things.
But if there was, then Shamei Bad Menu Acher, would that be enough to over...
No, it would be. So either the concern is what? The Mekach HaMemkar issue. But he says Simcha's not the issue. But if you had believed that Simcha is the issue, then I could have said... either too bad, I wouldn't know how to deal with it. Maybe a ma'arvin simcha b'simcha is more important than what? Shemei yekadmenu acher. I can't conclude that from the Ritva
now. What about Sheva Brachos?
What?
What about Sheva Brachos?
That's an excellent question. We do make Sheva Brachos during, and that's simcha. That's simcha, no doubt. That's a good question. What?
Is it all encompassing simcha? Is any party count, or it has to be halakhically? It has to be specific halakhic.
It's halakhic
thing. It has to be specified as a simcha.
Yeah.
But isn't Sheva Brachos more? But that's halakhic.
I know, but it is related to simcha. So why don't we say v'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha?
And why don't we say Amar and Simcha B'Simcha?
Right,
but yet people make Sheva Brachas. I don't never remember that you don't make Sheva Brachas on Chol Shemoim.
But does the whole thing of Mecca for Memkar, is that related to the concept of Heisha Nitnis? You know, that it's
yes, Kesef 1,000%. In fact, if you look at the first Perek of Maseches Kedushin, it speaks very little about marriage. It's all about Kinyanim. There's Mishnah is how to acquire property, how to acquire Avadim, how to acquire Metaltalin, and amongst that is how to acquire a woman. Yes, so the laws of marriage are in Maseches Ksubas, not in Kedushin. It's all a Masech of Kinyanim. That's what the first parak of Kedushin is all about.
Yeah.
Good. However, let's take a look at the, Now, take a look at page 2A for a minute. So, there is actually a machloikis in Maseches Pesachim as to whether or not there's a chiyuv su'uda in relationship to erusin or not. The sanya, we learned in a braisa. Sudas erusin rishus. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi says there is a mitzvah to have a sudas erusin. So if that would be the case, if the halacha were to be like Rabbi Yossi, the Ritva would not believe that the Gemara would allow erusin on Cholo Shomoi. He says the only thing that is pushed aside is the Mekach Umemkar business. But if there was a real element of simcha, it would appear that way. And that's the machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So the Ritva cites that there is no chiyuv of suda per se, and therefore you're not allowed to make a suda erusin on Chol HaShomoed because it's not a compelling mitzvah to do so in the first place. According to Rabbi Yossi, there certainly is an obligation to do so. If you go to page 2b, the Magen Avraham pipes in, and he says, no. You can't prove anything, even if you were to paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that there is a mitzvah, I still would not allow a sudas nesuin or erusin on Chol HaShomoed. I would not allow a sudas erusin on Chol HaShomoed. Even though it was a mitzvah, and the Mishnah says you're allowed to get engaged. Why? And he says, sudas erusin. For who adin sudas nesuin? The Hoya Efshar La Asoso Biyom Acher. Where does it say that the Su'uda, which you use to highlight the engagement, had to be that very same day? Doesn't say any place. It's not like a Sudas Bris, which has to be Boy Bayoyim on the Bris. That's not true. And he even throws in Sudas Nesu'in, which is somewhat of a bigger chiddush. I can understand Sudas Erusin being a delayed day. A Sudas Nesu'in, a little difficult to see that you're getting married today, and then the Sudas is going to be 2 days later. A little difficult to understand that, but so he quotes the Bach. And as a result, under no circumstances would we allow a Sudas Erusin. Vitzorachia. And the Magen Avraham is a little upset with the Bach. The Kasa B'Simen Tachmin Das of Zion, the Sudas Erusin, Sudas Mitzvahi, Afilu Be'erif Pesach. Even on Erif Pesach, you're allowed to make a Sudas Erusin. The Bechol HaMoed, Asu La'asos Sudas Erusin, Koshkin Be'erif Shabbos, the Kilt Fei. So the question is, are you allowed to make it or not? Are you not allowed to make it? He's not 100% sure whether you're allowed to make it, whether you're not allowed to make it. And,
when he says Be'er Pesach, you're talking about after Chatzos, right?
Yes.
The Shiloh is absolutely no problem if he's doing it in the morning.
Like that is correct. Pesach, you know? That is correct.
How do you have a Sudas Mitzvah presumed without Lechem?
Okay, so you'll use the famous Rabbeinu Tam. You'll eat egg matzahs. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says, each Sudas Shlishit. After Chatzos, you eat egg matzahs. That's what he writes. Yes.
when there was Erev Pesach, the Rav was against eating the egg matzahs because, according to the Rambam, you can be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah with egg matzahs. Because egg matzahs is not a violation of lechem
matzah
ashira. It is only, according to the Rambam, if it's kneaded with wine, oil, or milk. But not eggs. Eggs is not. So it's not. You can be the kind of mitzvah. So he always used to say to be machmer, like the Rambam, of course.
Next question. I don't know if you mentioned it before. The Shem Yikad Beno Acher, we refer to that for with Nisuyan, not just Erison?
No, only Erison.
Only Erison, right?
Okay. Yeah. Now, on Chol Shemoid, you can't get married.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
If you get married, is a Kiddush Chal?
Yes. If you get married, is the Kiddush Chal. Yes. There's a famous tshuva of the Rama, where somebody, it was a case like this, where the guy was checking out on Shabbos, leaving on Shabbos. And this woman had not been married for who knows how many years. This guy said he would marry her, but he only will marry her today. Otherwise, he's checking out on Shabbos. And the Rama allowed it. Erusin, Nisuin, on Shabbos, because he didn't want this woman to remain, it was a very famous, a lot of Achroinim attacked the Rama for doing that. But
so wait, so they would say that
broad shoulders
would not mean it yet, according to those Achroinim?
Who?
The one that disagreed with the Rama.
The guy's checking out on
no, Shabbos. Everybody said that it's Chal. You can't argue with that. Because it's only a Kenyan. If you do a Kenyan on Shabbos, the Kenyan is Chal. But whether you should allow it, Lechatchila, whether you should allow it or not. Good. Now, if you go to page 2, the Keren Ora elaborates using this Ritva that we just read. Keren Ora writes, Amar Shmuel Mutala Areis Isha Shemeka Menacher Le'el Besugya De'ein Nosin Nashim B'moeg. Previously on the Gemara on Daf Ches, where we discussed getting married on Chol HaShemoed, Hiksheti, I asked the question, Lama li l'Shmuel Taima D'Shema Yekad Menu Acher? Why does Shmuel need this explanation? Bilav Hachi Leka Isura Vaseh. There is no isur that one violates on Chol HaShemoed by getting engaged. The Haleka Simcha Be'erusin. There is no Simcha. So what else could there possibly be in terms of what? In terms of a prohibition? Who needs Shmuel? What's the isur?
Writing the isur.
What?
Writing.
So, let's see what he says.
What?
The old Hayanira. The e lav tama the shema yekadmenu yakdimenu haya asur la areis mitam to have a dumyur mekachomemka. So this is what the see. He asked the question and he's answering the question using the ritva. So you didn't really need him to say it because the ritva asked that question and gave this answer. So he's not being mechadesh matz umitzvah lo ovid be'erusin. And there is no mitzvah performed in relationship to the mitzvah of Erusin. This is a fantastic, is not a fantastic. It's subject to a titanic machloikis, the Rambam and the Rush.
Why is it Rambam?
Okay, hold on a second. The Rambam is of the opinion that getting engaged is a mitzvah. 100% is a mitzvah. And in fact, the Rambam writes, for this reason, the Chassan, or the Masada Kedushin, has to make sure that he recites the Berachas Erusin before the Chatan gives the ring to the Kalah. You look at the Ravid right there, and the Ravid says, no, you can make the Bracha afterwards. Because this Bracha is not a Berachas HaMitzvah. It's a Berachas Shevach. Thanking the Rabbeinu Shalom for an opportunity to establish a relationship with the opposite sex. But it's not a Berachas HaMitzvah. And that's why at times a Birchas Shevach is recited, even though it actually has the modality and form of a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. What the Ravid compares to, and Tosis quotes this in Psachim in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam, the bracha of Asher Kidesh Yidid Mi Beten V'chok B'she'ero Sam, which is recited by a bris. Excuse me. The bracha that the father makes, Asher Kedeshanu B'mitzvah Tzivanu L'hachniso B'vriso Shel Avraham Avinu. When does the father make this bracha? After the mile went snippy snippy. It's after, says the Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Because it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I have an opportunity to enter Briso Shel Avraham Avinu. So the Ravid agrees with the Rush. The Rush in Ksubas writes that this is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. How do I know, says the Rush, it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah? Because the text is bizarre. Does the Torah ever say, Asher Kedeshanu B'mitzvayisim V'tzivanu Al Achilas Matzah, before you get to the Asher Kedeshanu B'tzivanu
Al Isur
Yichimitz V'tzivanu Al Isur Chametz, do we do that? No. All of a sudden here, the start Asher Kedeshanu B'tzivanu V'tzivanu Al Ha'arayos V'asar Lanu Es Harusos V'hitir Lanu Es Anasuas Lanu Al Yudei Chupa V'kidushin. What's all this song and dance? Just say Asher Kedeshanu B'tzivanu V'tzivanu L'kadesh Yishah. That's it. Therefore, says the Rush, there is no mitzvah to get engaged whatsoever. There is a mitzvah to have children, but you can be mekayim the mitzvah pruvu in a non-consecrated manner. You can live with a concubine, you can live just anything you want in order to fulfill. He's not saying you should do it, but it's not a mitzvah per se to get engaged.
Can the kallah say the bracha if it's a mitzvah sheva, or does the pasuk not?
It's an interesting question. The kallah should.
The rabbi is the one that's saying it. So
what?
Who should be saying that bracha then?
The Rambam says the chassan. The reason why the rabbi started doing it is because many chassanim didn't know how to say the bracha.
Okay,
so that's why.
So how does that picture of this whole elaborate bracha in the beginning with the from Matir Asurim that we say every morning?
No, that's not a Birchas HaMitzvah.
No, it's not. That's the whole point. But that's what I'm saying.
No, but Asurim means somebody who's tied up and can't walk. That's what it means. It doesn't mean Isurim. It's Asurim. And Asur is somebody who's like
confined.
Yeah.
We taught something entirely different about God.
It's okay, don't worry. We'll make mistakes. That's all. Don't worry about it. So.
So those who believe it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, they explain this unusual text?
They just say it's an unusual text.
And they're more machmir, they have to say before.
Yeah, the Rambam says it must be said before, 100%. He said if you gave the ring, don't bother saying it. The Rambam writes that if you gave the ring first and said Areyat Mekudeshesli, do not, like 99% of all mitzvot, if you already perform the mitzvah, you don't recite the Berachas HaMitzvah thereafter. There are some exceptions.
The kos for Erusin.
Yes.
That's a kos for the mitzvah, right? Because you do it for a mitzvah, you need a kos, for the Berachas HaShevach.
No. We do it because Shvachot, yes, are generally recited al hayayin. Ein omrim shira el al hayayin, says the Gemara. Since we're saying shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore it's al hakos. Yeah.
Why is everybody asking on Shmuel as opposed to asking on our Mishnah?
Because the Mishnah didn't say why you're allowed to get engaged.
But according to all these questions we directed, why is the Mishnah telling me that I can get engaged? Like, why do I need to know this? Independent of the reason.
Saying get engaged. It's illegal.
No, because Shmuel is saying there's got to be a reason why a Mishnah allowed it if there's nothing wrong with it. So there's got to be something wrong with it. So Shmuel assumed that there is something wrong with getting engaged, and I'm going to tell you what the override is. But Shmuel's assumption is that something had to be wrong with getting engaged.
Well, that's the Mishnah, by the Mishnah telling me that you're allowed to get engaged.
Correct.
The Mishnah is telling me that it was
something wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm going to allow. So Shmuel wants to know, why is the override? Why does the Mishnah allow it?
So again, so why are we...
It's the opening line of the Gemara. The next Gemara is going to talk about everything else.
Okay.
It's the first words of the Gemara, because it's the first words of the Mishnah.
So I'm just wondering why we're asking on Shmuel and not on the Mishnah. It seems like with all these questions could be just as easily asked on the Mishnah.
What would you ask in the Mishnah? Why would I have thought that it's prohibited?
Yeah.
Yeah, and a Hanami, yes. Okay. Okay.
Poor Shmuel.
But the reason is because they're trying to know what did they need his reason for. You know,
let them be a Chacham and come up with a reason. Because the Mishnah... I hear you.
Okay, right. Yeah. So the Karen Ora goes one step further, and he says that if we assume that Kenyan is the concern in relationship to Kedushay Nashim, why is it that we allow Gerushin and Chalitza? Gerushin is also a Kenyan. You transfer the woman into her own Rishus. She's no longer bound to her husband. Now, if you need an excuse in relationship to Kiddushin of Shemi Kamenu Acher, he's going to ask the question, well, what about Gerushin and Chalitza? Let's read it. It's the sixth line. V'ha de mutter legarish v'lachlotz ulamandia ulaman hainu mishum dehem chashiva davar ha'oved yoser me'erusin. Why is that a davar ha'aveh more than getting engaged?
For the woman, it is.
For her.
Free time.
What?
Free will. Free
yeah. Time. Okay. Okay.
He's a man ahead of his time.
It's yes. Okay. It's. I think it's a lot ahead of his time. Okay, that's possible. But then he asks a bomb of a question. Does anybody remember what we learned last week? The Rambam Shita, as to why the Rambam was matir all of these activities. Anybody remember? What did the Rambam say is the matir of all of these activities? Correct. Tzorchei Rabin. That's exactly what the Rambam said. So now the Keren Ayre asks the following question. Avolafi mashikosav harambam zal hatam bikulhu mishum dehevik itzorche rabin hadra kushya liduchte afilu below shema yikad yakdimenu acher lishtere leoreis kimosha huta ligareish. If the Rambam said that any activity which is done by the multitude of people, even though the case that you're dealing with, remember we pointed that out, is just one at a time, nonetheless, since all of society does it, it's identified as Tzorchei Rabim, and it doesn't have to be beneficial to 5,000 people at the same time. So, according to the Rambam, once it's identified as Tzorchei Rabim, what do I need Shmuel's halacha of Shema Yekadmenu Acher? Even if it's not, even if that concern doesn't exist, it's a Tzorchei Rabim. Therefore, there's one address for everything. That's his question on the Rambam. That's his question. Tzorech loymar k'may shekosafti le'el. So you'll have to say, it's like something that I said before. What did I say before? That if you could have... If we don't know what the Rambam would say, what is the problem with Kiddushei Nashim that I'm going to allow it based on Tzorchei Rabim? I can ask the same question. Why did the Rambam need Tzorchei Rabim to what? To be matir, to get engaged. There's got to be something with it. So he's going to suggest that it must be that the Rambam also understood that either it's asur because of mekach u'memkar, or the Rambam might have believed that there was an element of simcha involved. So therefore, you need something in order to be maturit. But he doesn't really explain by making that analysis, why do you need Shmuel? That question he didn't really he doesn't really answer. Because once the Rambam is Tzorchei Rabbim, unless you would say that maybe we would not have allowed this Tzorchei Rabbim. Maybe we would not allow for some reason. I don't know why. Why Gerushin would we allow? Chalitza we allow? But Erusin we wouldn't allow? Unless Shema Yekadmenu Acher? I don't know. And the truth be told, you can actually apply Shema Yekadmenu Acher to Chalitza and Gerushin too. Obviously they want to get divorced. And why do they want to get divorced? Because there's another guy, you know, they hate each other, they don't get along, and there's somebody else available. And he may not want, he's taking a train on Chol HaMoed, he's not coming back. Same thing with a chalitza. If you don't grant a chalitza, so what's going to happen? This guy who wants to marry her is checking out, so she's going to have to do yibum. That's it. It's possible that maybe that's what he has in mind, that Shema Yekadmenu Acher could be the overriding reason for Chalitza as well. It's a little difficult, but it's a little difficult. But that's what he's. But he brings up the question is an excellent question. Excellent question. Yeah. Okay. If you now go to page 4 for a second. So here the Keren Ora deals with another issue. If there is no simcha involved in Erusin, why is everybody so makbid that you're not allowed to make a Sudas Erusin? That's his question. The Efshalomar, the Isur Seudas Erusin, Lav Mishum Simcha. So he denies the fact the way it appears in the Ritva. The Ritva says, you know why there is no simcha by Erusin? Because there's no Suda. That's what he said. Inference, if there was a Suda, that would be a violation of simcha and prohibited on Chol HaShamoed. He says, no. The Isur Suda says, la mishum simcha. The Be'erusin leka simcha. So once by the action, by the mitzvah, there is no simcha, a meal can't convert that into a simcha. Midamutalares. Elalakuleyalma hatam mishum hatoreyachu. Why don't you engage in a... Because of it takes a lot of time to prepare and a lot of effort to prepare. It happens to be one of the explanations as to why a Sudas Nesuin is Asur on Chol HaShamoed as well. Because it takes a lot of time and you should be preparing for Yontif, not preparing for the wedding. So that's what he adds against the Ritva. Against the Ritva. Yeah.
Isn't it counterintuitive to say there's no simcha by Erusin? I mean, it's a nice declaration, but psychology, people,
of course,
kisses and
certainly the way today, where everybody makes these huge l'chaims, which was unheard of in our day, that's for sure.
How could somebody not have been happy that?
It's a good question. It's a good question. He's talking like a Kalta Litvak.
Nowadays, L'chaim is just that, L'chaim.
What?
Nowadays, L'chaim was just that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. But maybe an Ayakichel. That's about it. Yeah. Good. Okay.
You want to make a suit for your family
at home,
or you think a wall out.
Yes. Because
there's no Torah
involved. That's halacha of Simchas Yontif.
But the thing that we've never a Torah is not really good. It's not, you know, it's going to get you out. Because it was bris, and you have, you know, to make it big sort of bris. No one is saying you should minimize the Torah.
Okay. I grant you that. Good question.
To bring up the Midrash and say that Avraham made a party for Yitzchak beyond
the people. He got married at 6 o'clock, right?
It was on Pesach.
According to the Midrash, it was. Yeah.
And all these parties on Pesach.
Yeah. Now, if you go to page 5, he adds one other question. Im kein yesh l'dakdek al takanat kadmoneinu l'siyum ha-toyra b'shmini atzeres. V'amai l'choshishu l'eruv simcha b'simcha the mitzvah l'smoach b'gomra shel Torah. U'mikan yesh l'umod the suda she'osin l'siyum ha-toyra mutar l'asos b'cholo shomoed o b'yom tov afilu l'man d'yamar the kol hasmachol bichlal ein ma'arvin. So he raises a good question, and he just says, "You're allowed to do it." Why? I don't. He doesn't tell me. But his question is, why do we have festivities? Number one, the simcha itself. Which that question was asked many times before him. But why do you have these big smachot, these big kiddushes, and these meals on Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres? Why isn't that a violation of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha? Even if you believe that Ein Ma'arvin B'Simcha B'Simcha is not only limited to Nisuin. This is an exception. Why? Doesn't say. But? It's, yeah, okay. Yeah, to some extent.
When was Simcha Torah instituted? I mean, after the Gemara, right?
Way after the Gemara.
Okay, so, the Gemara has never addressed it because it didn't exist.
That's correct. Shmini Atzeres was a plain Shmini Atzeres. And Shmini Atzeres and Chutz Laaretz was a plain day. Called it Simchas Torah later, but it was the second day Shmini Atzeres.
So when did they institute it in Bavel? Later.
Yeah, it became. It started. There's a remez in certain Rishonim, but it became popular in the 1600s. The Arizal.
All right. So yeah. Was that in Israel? The Arizals are in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
I was gonna go. Maybe it's on Yantiv Sheni. But it's Yantiv Sheni, so it's not really Yantiv.
Maybe that they got rid of that a long time ago.
Before. Wait, no, but that was after the Gemara.
Well, that's a good one.
The triennial after the Gemara.
Right.
They couldn't have Simchas Torah necessarily. It wouldn't.
That is correct. That's correct.
It's Yantiv Sheni. It's not really.
What's the Mikar
that
he says? He said the
mitzvah is small, the Gemara Shel Torah. Shir HaShirim, he quotes a Medrash, Shir HaShirim Aleph, entry test. Okay, let's now go to another a serious halachic issue.
What about the word rachamim? Did you understand the word rachamim?
What?
Did you say anything about the word rachamim?
Yeah, or I didn't explain it yet.
Oh, okay.
Gotta take care of this first.
Okay.
Yeah. How much do you have to get? Okay. Now, the question, in Shulchan Aruch it says, I want to focus on this halacha of ani hamahapech b'charor. That's what it's called. A poor person who is about to pick up a coal, and somebody else comes and snatches it before he had a chance to pick it up. So the Gemara says such a person is called a rasha. Ani amape b'charara, nikra Russia. So the Mechaber writes, Hamachazir achar davol liknoso o lisachro. Somebody is shopping for an item to either purchase it or rent it. Bein karka, bein metalkulin, whether we're dealing with real property or movable property. Ubo achar vikon o, nikra Russia. And somebody else came and bought it. That person is called a Rasha. V'hu hadin l'rotze l'haskir atzmo etzel acher. Somebody needs a worker. I come forward. I'd like to work for you. I'm willing to work. Somebody else says, beats you to the punch. I'll work for you. So that principle is based on the fact that you seem to have made an agreement, but what is missing that precludes somebody else from intervening? No Kenyan. There was no Kenyan made. So if you didn't make a Kenyan, you should not do so. Chachamim can't preclude your acquisition, but they can call you a Rasha. They can call you a Rasha. So the question which Rav Moshe deals with is somebody who's going out with a young lady, and then somebody else beats you to the punch, and does that second guy violate the halacha of ani hamahapech b'charoro or not? So Rav Moshe is going to say something startling. So he says as follows, on page 7. Hinei kol zman shelo hechlitu b'neihem shenigbar hashiduch shehu ohi mistapkin adayin be'etzem hadavar im hu tov lifnehem o rak o afrak be'ezet tenayim binyanei mamon ke'ilu she'efshal lo yavol de gemar, that if they have not yet gotten engaged, colloquially engaged, I don't mean halachically engaged, colloquially engaged, so even though they plan on getting engaged and so on and so forth, if they have not gotten engaged, there is no isur of aniya mahapich b'charar. Why? Because you never know whether this is going to be climaxed or not. You don't even know if they're going to finish. Maybe they'll argue about this, where they're going to get married, how much nadin the father-in-law is supposed to give. Who knows what it is? Barur sheleka din mahapich b'charar. Da'af binyane mekach u'memkar pasak harama b'choshin mishpat reish lamed zayin sif aleph. The din mehapech becharara hu kishikvar pasku hadomim shebeinehen ve'ein michusarin elo hakenyan. It's everything has already been agreed upon between the merchant and the buyer. The only thing missing is to act to make the formal legal acquisition. Aval im michusarin adayin hapsika shahamot mocher rotze bekach. If they are not agreed upon the price, and that the mocher wants a higher price, and the purchaser wants a cheaper price, mutar le'achal liknosa, beinim ha-mocher akum, beinim ha-mocher Yisrael, makes no difference, Jew or Gentile. U'pireish hasma besifkat zayin lo mibayim ha-mocher Yisrael, shetakonas ha-mocher Yisrael ibekach, dim lo ken yafsid ha-mocher, the miyad shibo Yisrael echad liknoso v'yivchos alav pachos mishavya yitztarech hamocher liten lo kevan de'ein acher rishoi liknoso afilu ela afilu hamocher akum. He says it makes no difference whether it's a Jew and Gentile, even though he could have sold it to somebody else. Even if he can sell it to somebody else, unless the price has been established. So the same thing is true about a shidduch. Same thing is true about a shidduch. Good. Next paragraph. Aval im kvar hechlitu ligmor hashidduch. Av sha'adayin lo nase hakinyin. Shinohagin la'asot bigmar shidduchin ukadome. If they agree to get engaged. But what have they not done?
Give him the ring.
No. That's engagement. That's halachic engagement. Like what? So what do we do? They write Tanoim. You write Tanoim. That's when Tanoim used to be written, not 5 minutes before the wedding. It's just the only reason why we do it. It's a photo op. It's a total waste of time to write Tanoim. So there, under those circumstances, even then, says Rav Moshe, even though there's an agreement, still it's okay. Why? Talui zeh bidin hefker umatana sheliyesh omrim harishon shehu shitas toises v'arash leka b'shiduchin isur mahapech b'charara. Because if you go back for 1 second, just for 1 second, to line 2 of the Shulchan Aruch on page 6, where the Mechaber writes, "She'im ba lizakot behefker o likabel matana me'acher uba acher v'kidmo eino nikra rasha kevan she'eino davar hamatsui lo b'makom acher." Meaning, when I'm trying to buy something and I'm negotiating the deal and I completed the purchase, under those circumstances, I completed the agreement, you have no right to come in and sweep it out from my feet, because you can get the same thing someplace else. Go to another car dealer and buy the car that I was negotiating on. But when it comes that I'm about to pick up what? Something that is hefker, or something that is baba matana, under those circumstances, you're allowed to. Because low, you don't find hefker things lying around all the time. You don't have that all the time. So the mere fact that I seem to have made the first effort to get that doesn't make you a Rasha, because you can't avail yourself somewhere else. So too says Rav Moshe. Not every young kala is available. You know, guys are looking around for appropriate kalas for too many years. So when you have this woman, even though you agreed to everything, you agreed to everything, nonetheless, if somebody now will convince her not to get engaged to you, but to get engaged to somebody else, says Rav Moshe, it's no Isur of Mahapet B'Charara, because this girl is not available, this type of girl is not available anyplace else. So he compares the case of Shiduchim, does Rav Moshe, to the halach of Hefker and Matana, and claimed it only applies in the case of Kinyan. Only Kinyan. Yeah, that's what he writes initially. Go to the next paragraph for a second. Now, yeah. The Ramah quotes a second opinion, which is Rashi's opinion, that says that it applies even by Hefker and Matana. If you look at the Ramah, and he says the Svara Shanig, Afilu the Svara Dafka Ba'ani Ava Ba'ashir Lo Im Lo She'eino Matsui the Az Afilu Ba'ashir Mikra Rasha. That even if it's an so he distinguishes between what and what? An Ani and Ashir. Namely, because Ramah makes a good, Rashi makes a good point here. The Gemara's illustration is an Ani HaMehapech B'Charara. Where is this coal being... coal's not being sold. He finds the Charara on the floor, and he's about to pick it up. And the Gemara calls him a Rasha. Why is he called a Rasha? It's Hefker under those circumstances. So that's why the Ramah quotes that if there's a difference between an Ani and an Ashir. When it comes to an usher, even though this opportunity might not present itself, an usher can vergeltkem and alles kriegen, can get whatever you want. But an ani can't do that. So therefore, the ani hamahapech b'charara is nikra rasha. But an usher who is mahapech b'charara would not be called a rasha. So Rav Moshe avails himself of that and says, no, the first opinion is the most important opinion. Fine. Next part. Aval kishenasa hakinyan. Shino hagin. Av shahakinyan lisa ze et ze lo mo'il. The heavenly kinyan dvarim. Even though when people agree to get engaged colloquially, it has no halachic import whatsoever. Kide isa bisma. V'im ken lahasovrim. The behefker umatana leka din mahapech b'charara gam achar hakinyan ein lihiyos din zeh. So even if they fully agreed, they agreed to everything, they know where they're getting engaged, they know where they're getting married, like today when you make an announcement, an engagement, you know exactly where and when you're getting married, you're already prepared, whether there's going to be chopped liver at the shmorg or not, or anything along like that. Venetian shmorg is always, it was really, really good. Venetian shmorg is good choice there. Very good. Yeah. So Rav Moshe says, even if you came to all those things, you should not do so. However, he has one proviso. Mikol makom atzur mitzad hacherem sheyesh bebitul shiduchem. There was a cherem that was imposed for anybody who is mevatel a shidduch unless there is a very valid reason.
When is this cherem? When did it come into existence?
It, according to many, it started around the time of the Chasam Sofer. So that's the 18th century. And that they started this cherem that you were to take to be in cherem if you broke up a shidduch for no reason whatsoever. And many claim that the whole idea of the Tanayim is just to put a little more oomph to the agreement, and that when you mevatel the Tanayim, so what happens then is the whole idea of Tanayim is that the father accepts financial obligation in case the other father doesn't bring his son or daughter to the chuppah and he loses financially, he's going to have to pay for it, pay for his losses. But there was a cherem, so Rav Moshe says, to jump in and to take this girl, which would in effect help violate the cherem, because each one of them were bound by the cherem that unless there is a really good reason, you have to get married to one another, says Rav Moshe, in order to not cause the other one to be mevatel the cherem, you should try to stay away from such a thing. But halachically, he agrees that it doesn't take place. And there, I know this question was not the first time that Rav Moshe was asked this. He apparently this came to his desk quite a number of times, where people would ask about breaking up somebody jumping in to a
An existing shidduch.
Yeah. And then he writes the next paragraph. Umistabel aniyas dati da'acharei sheyesh hacherim yesh memeila dam isu mehapech b'charora. The hobe etzem af behefker hushu mechara b'charora sharei kva mehapech ba chaveiro v'yesh ba etzem inyan ho'isur. So he says, not only would you violate the cherem, you'll be called a rasha as well. All right, stop here. Now, next week is Shavuos, so I won't be here next Monday night.